From the Len de Grandier University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of May, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing. Nick Sider, Illinois Extension entomologist, will be here with some thoughts on the army worm, the true army worm that has been making flights into the state and other parts of the Corn Belt. And then we'll take up the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to close out our time together, and along the way talk with Greg Johnson of Total Grain Marketing in the elevator here in Champaign County, all on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn settled $7.72 at a quarter. It was up a half cent on the afternoon. The September at 7.39 and three quarters, down a penny and a quarter. And December futures off 2 cents at $7.23 and a quarter. July soybeans 12 lower at $16.81. The November at $15.12 and three quarters, down 4¾ of a cent. The bean meal $2.90 lower, and the bean oil down $1.20. Wheat futures soft red down 6½ at $11.48 and a quarter, and the hard red at 12.33 and a quarter, both of those in the July contracts down 4½ cents. Live cattle futures at $132.52½, 22½ cents lower per 100 pounds. Feeders at $167.95, down 20 cents, and lean hogs at $107.95, settled $1.10 lower. Crude oil, $110.38 a barrel, up 61 cents. Gasoline at $3.72 2/10 cents, up 3¾ cents per gallon. And the wholesale price of diesel fuel or heating oil at $3.75½. That finished a dime, or currently trading a dime and 0.2 cents higher for the day. Jackie Vakes of TotalFarmMarketing.com is now with us. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for taking your time with me today.
Hey, Todd.
Start with the support and resistance, please.
Alrighty. Corn, July 707 and 824. September 717 and 846. December 715 and 766. On beans, July 1616 and 1741. August 1506 and 1728. November 1387, 1555. We look at gold on May. We're a little higher this week, 1891 and 2112. Dow Jones Index, 31,532, 32,811. And the U.S. dollar lower this week, 99.5, 102.98. Our managed money, Todd, kind of interesting. You know, you and I have talked in the past about how they switch back and forth, especially in wheat. Well, they went from being long 43,000 wheat last week to short 1,000 this week. On corn, they're long 297 compared to 354 last week. Beans 140 compared to 153 last week. Soy meal 39 compared to 53 last week, and soy oil 84 compared to 89. So overall, you can certainly see that they have backed off on some of their long positions, and we'll get into some of the reasoning behind that when we move into what's going on in the markets. But index traders, hedging inflation. Last week, if you remember, they were down across the board on corn, beans, and wheat. They lowered their positions. This week, they added 7,700 corn positions, 3,697 bean positions, and 8,786 wheat positions. So they are definitely back in the market hedging inflation again. And I think it's interesting. Currently, corn, they have 596,222 long positions. That's just an unbelievable amount of longs, and it appears it could get longer. So inspections, wheat exports running 21% behind compared to 21 last week, corn 17 compared to 17 last week, and beans 14 compared to 14 last week. Again, when you look at census is showing an extra 266 million bushels on the corn side. So we really truly aren't 17% behind. We are on export inspections per se out of the ports, but not necessarily overall export inspections.
What'd you make of the market action so far this week?
I think what we're seeing, Todd, is liquidation ahead of Memorial Day weekend. The war's become old news. we're seeing the managed funds lift their longs that we just talked about. The concerns, you know, about the U.S. economy and the China economy are certainly weighing on the market. And we've had some improving weather. So I believe that that's been pushing some specs out of the market, as well as we all know what happens when there's margin liquidation. You know, when you have plunges in the marketplace, the plunge lasts a little longer than it should, primarily because of margin liquidation. And, you know, if you look at the overall big picture, the Dow Jones really took a beating up until the last 4 days. And sometimes what that does is it really it takes your portfolio managers and they sometimes start to switch some of their positions because they do use the commodity market as a part of a portfolio. And they look at it and say, oh, there's a little too much risk here. You know, so I think all of those are what's going on. You know, to be honest with you, this feels much more like a 4th of July trade setup than Memorial Day. It really does. And I'm scared because of that. I don't know what we're going to come back into on Tuesday. But, you know, wheat has really been the leader lower. You know, this whole India thing. Will we lift the export ban? Won't we lift the export ban? And you know, it's just like a yo-yo in the market. And then yesterday, we saw the funds actually dump 15,000 corn when China changed their restrictions on the Brazilian corn. But the reality is, corn in Brazil at $8.95. On their futures, we're sitting at 763. So from a competition standpoint, they're not there. So I tend to believe that that was done more in an effort to try and push our markets lower, you know, give that perception. And this whole Russian thing that came out with we'll leave grain for humanitarian use out of the Ukraine only if you lift some sanctions, you know, and I think they're probably very sure they're not going to lift sanctions, but I think they're just trying to shift the blame more or less, you know, on any major problems from a human standpoint to the West. And they did announce too that they were going to, because we sanctioned them and didn't allow them with some of the banks here in the U.S. Now they're saying that they want to pay their debt in rubles. Well, I looked that up. You know, $1 million. $1 million debt in the U.S. in a U.S. dollars is equivalent to almost 59 million rubles. And I can't picture anybody who's willing to take that kind of chance. I mean, just the exchange costs would be unbelievable, much less taking the risk of the fluctuation, you know, in the exchange rate. So it's going to be interesting. They do keep on causing problems. Let's put it this way. They are saying wet weather across the Midwest, you know, so now we're in the rain makes grain mindset, but we can't forget that the Dakotas and Minnesota soybeans go to the Pacific Northwest, you know, and so the planting that's going on up there, as late as it is really a very big concern. And, you know, we all looked at the planting progress and went, oh, you know, that was more than what we expected it to be. But I think it could be pretty misleading, Todd. I don't know. We're hearing from farmers in the north, especially, that they're planting in the mud, because insurance is better than prevent plant. But see, none of that will come to fruition. We won't know any of that until we get so much further down. So I think the short term, you know, could be tough on prices at times, but I think in the long term, the reality is we need every bushel we can produce. You know, this world and this war has really disrupted a lot of things. And so it's going to be interesting. EIA just came out not very long ago. We saw 23,000 more barrels per day than what we saw the week before. We saw 7 million more gallons than the week before. And the stocks actually went down 79,000 barrels. So that was a positive EIA report. But then when you look at the gasoline demand, boy, there was a real drop in gasoline demand from last week to this week. So we got to wonder what's going to happen. We did experience that last year as we went into the beginning of June and then came bouncing back out. So I don't know, you know, with the prices going up as much as they have, it'll be interesting to watch to see if we can come out of this again.
Now you mentioned Brazil. The second crop, corn, is the one that normally gets export. You were talking about that as it relates to China. I'm wondering how that's doing.
There's a double-edged sword down there right now. You know, they've had pretty dry conditions. The Soybean and Corn Producers Association of Mato Grosso lowered the estimate for their Safrinha corn production by 4 million tons down to 36 million. And, you know, even though 90% of that corn was planted in the ideal window, some of the corn hasn't had any rain for more than 50 days. And so that is a very, very scary situation. And then you add, they had a historically cold week last week. You know, they had frost. And this is really unusual for them. You know, now Dr. Cordonier said, when I talked with him, he said that, you know, the safrinha corn dodged a bullet, at least for this time. And he said this time because it's only May. And the coldest months down there are June, July, and August. And so there's some light damage right now, but that corn is vulnerable for at least another month. And so if that frost shows up again or is more severe as we go into the colder month of June, you could see a lot more problems down there. On the Argentina side, they did have an open week last week, so harvest is moving along, but it's still dragging behind the five-year average. And so they're still struggling. There's no question about that.
Indeed. Hey, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Oh, yeah. You have a great one. Take care.
You too. That's Jackie Vakes. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. You know, the true armyworm is a pest of corn and wheat that farmers need to be watching for right now. The true armyworm is a pest that rides the winds from the south. It begins its migration northward into states like Illinois in late April, and the moths lay their eggs in dense, grassy vegetation, and the offspring, the larvae, are beginning to feed right now, says University of Illinois field crops entomologist Nick Sider.
We're getting to the point here in the third week of May or so where these larvae are large enough to cause some noticeable damage in corn and in wheat in particular.
The damage is unique in that the larvae feed from the edge of the leaf and tend to work inward. It, says Sider, gives the margin of the leaves a raggedy appearance.
Now, if this damage persists, if there's a lot of it, this can ultimately sort of clip a corn plant down to where there's barely any leaf material left and can, in fact, stunt that plant or even kill it. In wheat, occasionally, as the wheat dries down and they start to run out of leaf tissue, they'll actually begin to clip the heads or destroy the flag leaves, and that's where they can really cause some damage to wheat in particular.
Sider says to watch for the true armyworm in wheat fields, fields with grass cover crops, and those corn fields that have a lot of grassy weeds in them. As the grass weeds die off from the herbicide applications, the true armyworms, he says, can become an issue.
So in corn, you'll want to consider an insecticide application. If you're seeing armyworm damage on 25% of plants and you still have small armyworm larvae out there, note that this armyworm damage, again, they're feeding on the margins of the leaves on in. This is not like the regular whorl feeding that you would see, for instance, later in the season from fall armyworm potentially, or the shot hole feeding that you would see from black cutworm.
In wheat, the economic threshold to apply a rescue treatment insecticide application is 6 true armyworms per row foot. Now, wheat can withstand a great deal of defoliation without losing yield. However, heavy damage to the flag leaf or clipping of the heads is a key call-to-action indicator. By the way, the true armyworm, sometimes just called the armyworm, is one in a series of armyworm insect pests that can be problematic in field crops.
We call this one the true armyworm, or just armyworm. It tends to be the first one that we see during the season in Illinois. Later on in the season, we may begin to get flights of fall armyworm or yellow-striped armyworm. And one of the real key differences in those insects is that they have a broader host range, or at least will cause economic damage to a broader range of plants, and unfortunately we saw a lot of that with fall armyworm in particular in 2021.
The fall armyworm can become a problem in July and August in the state of Illinois. Sider says it's always imperative for farmers to scout field crops for insect pests and to apply rescue treatments based on economic thresholds when necessary. Let's check the cash grain situation with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, TotalGrainMarketing.com, right here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us. farmers are mostly done in the area, or a lot of them, I guess, what, 3/4 of the way or so, and some would like rain, some wouldn't, but we're going to get rain one way or the other. What did they think of this recent rally in the marketplace, and did they take advantage of it now that they've got crop in the ground?
They did not, at least in our area. The farmers I talked to have been extremely tight holders. I think they want to see the crop progress a little bit further before they get too confident. The thinking is there's a long growing season 4 months ahead of us, and we've gotten over the planting hurdle, but there's still more hurdles to get over. So I think even though we're experiencing a sell-off because of the planting progress, they think there's probably still going to be more opportunities down the line. So it really didn't translate into a lot of farmer selling.
I know that when we talked with Jackie Vake, she suggested that going into this Memorial Day weekend feels more like a July 4th weekend in the marketplace than Memorial Day weekend. Do you get that feeling too?
Well, I agree with Jackie. If you're thinking that that we need a bullish input, if farmers are waiting for that, and right now with the crop being planted, that's not bullish. With rain in the forecast, that's not bullish. So short term, temporarily, we could see this market sell off. So, you know, from that point of view, I agree that, we could be in a little bit of a downtrend, but we've still got 6 weeks to go before pollination, and a lot of things can happen, both weather-wise, growing season-wise, and otherwise macroeconomically. So I guess I don't know that it's over, but it might be over for a week or so.
How does fall basis for both corn and soybeans feel to you?
Soybean basis feels firm. It feels like China needs to buy beans. We think that they will be in the market this fall. Corn basis, on the other hand, just steady. I don't know there's any remarkable features to the corn basis yet. I guess we'll wait and see how many acres get planted, you know, what kind of yield we associate with that. So at this point, I think corn basis is average, but based on the Chinese demand, I think we can look for a better than expected bean basis this fall.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thank you for taking the time today.
Oh, absolutely. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Let's begin in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. They've been lagging behind because of weather conditions there, cold and then wet, and I don't know what's coming next for them.
Yeah, it's a seesaw, that's for sure. The northwestern part of the Corn Belt is still in the midst, or will be, I guess, in the midst of a little bit of a break here starting this afternoon and going out for a couple of days. We'll probably see some sunshine and an opportunity to warm up a little bit, but it doesn't last very long. The window closes fairly quickly, and we get back into some more rain starting this weekend. The precipitation initially was going to be somewhat limited and probably light. But as time moves along, it'll have an opportunity to increase, and the repetition alone will likely bring down field progress. And we're talking about the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota mostly. It might be a little bit better in parts of Wisconsin and Iowa than that. I don't think those two states will be impacted quite as much. And then, of course, it's a little bit wetter still farther to the northwest.
And here in my part of the world, what will conditions be like over the next week?
You're going to be blessed with a ridge of high pressure next week. Now, it's going to be kind of wet around for the next 2 or 3 days, depending on where you are in the various eastern Midwest locations. But we're expecting a lot of rain to scatter around today and tomorrow. And then Friday, we'll see the precipitation becoming more concentrated on the Atlantic coast. Maybe a few areas in Ohio and Indiana will still be getting some rain Friday. But right after that, as we go on into next week, we will build a ridge of high pressure over the region. And for the entire work week next week, we will have that high pressure ridge in place. Everybody from eastern Iowa and eastern Missouri over to Ohio will likely see multiple days of dry, sunny, and warm weather. And it should be a really good chance to dry down the soil a little bit and to get the last bit of field work done for some folks. And also, we're going to stimulate some aggressive crop development in those areas that were planted earlier. The warm-up is going to be really nice after the recent rain and milder temperatures. So there'll be a pretty big pretty big turnaround in crop development across the region as well as Spielberg.
A couple of other places across the planet we should check in on. We've been watching conditions in France, particularly where they have been dry. Do they continue to be dry?
Yeah, they have another 7 days of dry weather coming up there in France. And a large part of Western Europe is not going to do that well with precipitation over this first week of the outlook. But there is an opportunity for a little bit of moisture to evolve as we go into the second week. And France is probably a little bit better positioned to get some of that moisture as we go through the second half of next week and into the following weekend. My concern, though, is that it's not high volume moisture. And I'm also concerned that Western Europe will go back under a ridge of high pressure fairly quickly after that disturbance passes. So I don't think France is going to be off the radar after we get a little bit of rain to occur next week. There's still a lot of concern there. France is one of the most important wheat and, of course, corn and sunseed producing areas, but winter rapeseed is pretty big there. And the winter rapeseed crop, along with the wheat, are certainly two big issues that might move markets down the road. Now, Germany and Poland, they've been dry too, but they're going to be in a much more active weather pattern. And they are not nearly as dry as France has been. So it's mostly France that we're worried about. Spain is also kind of dry, but they irrigated an awful lot there. And the UK will also see some drying. You may hear about that as well.
In China, what are conditions like for their growing season?
Yeah, China has gone through a period of a couple of weeks now without a lot of moisture falling in their North China Plain and the Yellow River Basin area. It's not all that unusual to have May weather turn dry, but it's a little bit of a concern because when I was looking at the long-term weather options for this growing season, late spring and summer, I did notice a certain pattern occurring repetitiously that would suppress rainfall as we go forward through the growing season. Now, it wouldn't be necessarily a drought, a full-blown droughty pattern, but it does suggest less than normal precipitation through a fair amount of the growing season. And seeing this drying tendency taking place so early on just raises a little bit more concern in my mind that that is an area that we are going to want to watch. This includes the very important grain and oilseed areas in east central parts of China, including Shandong and Henan. Those are two very big grain and oilseed producing provinces. And what may happen a little later in the summer as the jet stream shifts to the north, this dryness could shift to the north as well. And so it might start impacting the old Manchurian provinces in the northeast, Heilongjiang, Jilin, and Liaoning. And if that happens, those are key corn and soybean producing provinces as well. About half of the crops come out of those three provinces. So we're going to watch those three areas in the far northeast right now that are abundantly moist. So that is not an issue today, but that east central part of China is, and we'll have to continue to watch that.
Hey, thanks so much.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand whenever you'd like. You can do that at willag.org. Just click and play from the website, or you can search us out in your favorite podcast applications. We're in everything. In fact, if you have an Alexa or you have a Google at your house, you can just ask them to play the Closing Market Report. It's pretty likely that that'll happen too. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written and performed by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.